Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you? Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Won't it, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Deco l'envia cap a la dreta per Xavi. Assistència de Xavi, més cap a la dreta per Messi, 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 Messi. Immens Messi. Encara Messi, 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 gol, 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 Messi, 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 però més i més i més, però més, però molt més, però molt, 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 molt més, però molt més, molt més, molt més, i encara més i més i més, i més 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 i tot i tot i tot i tot i tot i més i tot i més i tot i tot i tot i tot i més, tot i més.
Good morning, everybody. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. Rich saw the movie last night with Kyrie Irving called, what was it called again?
Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew.
Yeah, the screening was last night.
And so Josh Fowler, who produces temporarily the show here on the television side, has made a bingo thing, but is this the stuff that we said?
Well, I have Mason going and writing down everything that we predicted, because at 9 o'clock yesterday we knew that this morning I will have seen the movie and we were going to try to predict most of the things that happened in the film. It was going to be like a Kyrie Irving or Uncle Drew bingo, rather. And Josh has done a pretty good job putting together a sheet.
There's, but I don't recall a lot of these.
There's a couple things on here that I don't recall. He probably just had to fill in some extra blanks here.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Bill Walton.
We didn't talk about Panini basketball cards.
I saw that one specifically because I was like, you know, Fred probably would have mentioned that because you've talked about Panini cards before.
We've never talked about Shaq Fu.
Did we talk about Shaq Fu?
No, okay. We did not. Lisa Leslie's character will school.
That was one of those. Okay. I mean, basically, like, most of them are in here. Most of them are, I do
Seen
remember
in a diner,
saying,
I don't remember that.
No. I do remember Barbershop.
Yes,
you
obviously
that.
They're in a barbershop.
There's the cliche sentimental speech moment.
And there's obviously a scene in Rucker Park because that's where it is.
Sure. I don't think that we mentioned that, but either way, he had to fill some holes. I mean, it sounds like he had to put some in, which, and these are not bad ones to put in there.
No, but
he had to fill some holes.
I don't even recall Bill Walton, Bill Russell.
No, we did not put those in there. He probably had to put in like 7 or 8. I mean, there's like 25 things on here, but most of these are ones that we had mentioned.
Well, that's, I mean,
I'm looking forward to 8 o'clock. Put it that way. I'm looking forward to it.
Because you saw the movie.
I saw the movie last night. Yeah, I saw the movie last night at the screening. Now, this was not the screening in which you could have actually sat down and interviewed Kyrie Irving. No. That was only reserved for shows that don't usually discuss things having to do with Kyrie Irving, or you would think that we would be a show that you would invite to that, but no, that didn't happen. So I'm still a little bitter about that. But either way, we got to go with the... You know who I saw it last night? He told me to say hello to you. Was
me?
Paladino.
Eddie Paladino, the PA guy at the Garden.
He's a big John Waller fan.
Oh.
He's a big fan of the Eagles.
Like Eddie. Good guy.
Everyone must really hate Sean Grandy.
I don't know about that.
The way that everyone talks about how great you are, they must really hate Sean.
Or they just might really like me.
Oh, maybe that's the case. I just think it's just the absence of Sean.
Okay.
I don't want to give you too much credit for doing a great job and being nice to people.
No, so I get it. All right.
It's just like,
it's
fine.
It's like all these guys with super marginal jobs. Just they look at you with hope. If he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, like, what do you do? Well, I have to go to all these Celtic games.
An oasis is what I am.
Yeah, he's a good guy, but I just know that, like, it's true. Isn't that weird, Fred? It's like anyone who works around the Celtics, like almost overpraises John Wallach.
I only know Cedric Maxwell.
Well, Cedric Maxwell loves John Wallach. Likes John Wallach because John Wallach prepares. Like, John Wallach shows up and, like, that means that I ain't got to do anything. Like,
as much when he sat in that chair. Night off.
I don't think Grandy. I think Grandy overprepares, too. But I don't know anyone else who works for the Celtics. So I don't know who likes John or who doesn't like John. I just know that you're talking about some people that just have, like, you know, their nickels and dimers over there at the Garden, and they probably look at John and they're like, you know, he's a loser.
Wow.
and that's, you know, kind of their thing.
Sure. Danny's a fan of yours?
Yeah. We had Wick on. Wick had no idea who I was. Wick, not a clue.
Heinsohn didn't particularly care for you.
Heinsohn talked to me and got pissed.
But that was before you were doing the play-by-play.
That's true.
That was before you ever, like, you know, touched the old gold microphone over there.
I can tell you, having seen Tommy hit the building, I'm more of a pylon to be moved around on the way to the bathroom. Yeah. I'm not... Not someone he stops and talks to.
All right, so we will talk about Uncle Drew at 8 o'clock. I'm interested in knowing what's going on with this thing. That's not going to do you any good.
What's that?
That bingo sheet's not going to do you any good.
No, it's put it this way. I was going to have Mason or whoever was working to this morning write down all the things we predicted anyway. But this is kind of a nice little thing to bring back.
It's like an actual bingo sheet, which isn't... really what you
do. Well, I called it bingo, and that's on me. But either way, we made predictions as to what we thought were going to be in it. We threw out a ton, too. I mean, we had like 15, 16 different things.
I'm thinking, let's just say we had 20 predictions. I think we're going to nail about 18 of them. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're going through it, and we're throwing out stuff, and I'm like, that's absolutely going to happen. That's absolutely going to happen. It's formulatic. It's like the Kevin Can Wait game. This is formulatic in its inception.
Oh, yeah.
So it's... And I think maybe that's how we do it.
Now, there were...
Oh, yeah, you just check them off.
Just check them off, see how many we got.
There are going to be some things that I'm going to need some judgment on. Like, things that we predicted, and I'm going to give you the scenario, and you're going to have to tell me whether or not it counts on, like, one or two occasions.
Okay.
Okay? Because there's one or two things that I believe you could say that we were right on. But I just want to make sure that we keep this a clean game, all right?
Yeah,
that
fair enough.
We can't cheat the game. No, you can't. No, can't fake the funk on this one.
I was just going to say, can't fake the funk.
So,
no, sir.
We're going to make sure we get that right. By the way, guess who I had lunch with yesterday? Mr. Nick Jamelli.
How's he
right.
doing?
Intern
oh.
Nick. He is, first of all, he's glad to be out of the house. Yeah, if you haven't heard, he is, of course, intern Nick, if you didn't hear the story, several weeks ago, it's been about a month now, I finally found out the full story of like how he was found and everything. Like, this is, you want to talk about terrifying. The most terrifying part of the story hasn't been told yet. So Nick on a Wednesday, it was then Wednesday, I think before Memorial Day, started feeling a little bit sick. So he said on Wednesday, I remember like around noon, lying down in my bed, and then he said, so around like Thursday, I realized I haven't gotten out of my bed, and like the TV's on, and I can't get up to turn the TV off. So for a while, his girlfriend hadn't heard from him. She was calling him. Nick wasn't answering. And she thought that he was just, like, mad at her or something like that.
He was ghosting her.
Yeah, that's the term that he used yesterday. But I was like, all right.
Yeah.
He's ghosting.
Well done, Fred.
So she thought that, he was just ignoring her and wasn't responding. And then she realized that it had been 3 days since he had tweeted anything. And she goes, all right, well, something's wrong.
Right. And also that Nick is not someone to be ignoring a girl.
You're probably right. So she goes over to his house on Friday and finds him like almost unresponsive lying in his bed. So it was Wednesday when he got sick, and for almost 3 full days, no one knew. And meanwhile, he said the last he remembers is Thursday. So Thursday, he's lying in his bed, and he's got what we now know to be this horrible staph infection. So over the 3 days, it had been like affecting all of his organs, like his lungs, his liver, and it had been spreading all over, and nobody had heard from him. So if she hadn't gone over to his house that day, things could have been awful. So she gets him and takes him to the local emergency room, and they say, get him out of here. Take him to South Shore Hospital. This is bad. So he goes to South Shore Hospital, and the South Shore Hospital people are going to be like, get him out of here. Take him to Brigham and Women's, and they bring him there, and that's when they just realize that this thing is spread all over his body. So it had been almost 3 days that it had been spreading all over, and no one knew where he was until she just said, I'm something's wrong. Something's off, and she goes into his house and just finds the guy lying in the bed, like pretty much unresponsive. So he doesn't remember Friday at all. He doesn't remember much until he's actually at Brigham and Women's Hospital while they're moving around. He said it's like a Weekend at Bernie's type situation. So he had to get, of course, you know, a new thing put in his heart. And he's, you know, obviously looking a lot better. But, you know, he's definitely, he gained, like, I think he was 190 pounds before he got sick. And then when during his time in the hospital, you know, they have to put so many fluids and stuff in him that he said he ballooned up to 220. And he looked like, he said, one of the people from the Wall-E cartoon where it was with the gigantic cankles. Because, and I know he's talking about, you get that bloat when they put all that stuff in you. And now he's down to 160. Oh, so wow. Unfortunately, the Jamelli ass is gone.
Well, it's coming right back.
it might come back. But he's walking around right now, and he's got a it's like a bag that feeds him. It's not a colostomy bag. It's like a bag that has an electric thing that gives him his antibiotics. So he's still got an IV in his arm, and it's a substitute for a giant tree that you would normally walk around with, like, except it's like something you could carry. So he's walking around with that. And I'm like, you know, are you okay to walk around? He goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, I got to get out of the house. You have to understand, it's a very small place, and I love my dad to death, but I got to get out. So he's doing better. You know, he said that there's some things he's getting used to. He said that he's got like a new valve in his heart that's like a metal valve. And he says the weirdest thing is that he can hear it. Like, in his right ear, he can, like, hear his heart, like, pumping now. It's like, it's really strange, and I'm never going to get used to this because I have this thing in my body. And for some reason, it's amplified in my right ear. So I can hear my heart beating everywhere I go. He said, I know I'm going to get used to that. And then he said that there's several more weeks of rehab he has to go to, but he just needed to get out. And he goes, hey, you don't mind walking with me up to the movie theater? And he just watched like 2 movies in a row, I think, at the theater yesterday, just to get out of the house.
Uncle Drew?
No, he did not. I don't know if he's Uncle Drew. I said, you should just ride the bull. Like, because he was going to like a 12:30 Jurassic World. And I said, you should just stay at the theater all the way to the Uncle Drew screening at 7 o'clock. We'll see how you do. So, but he's doing good. He can't wait to be back. He's obviously bummed out by everything, but he is looking better. Looking better.
All right. We have catch up with what happened last night. Rich, what do we got?
Okay, so the Red Sox, there's some strange stuff going on there. David Price, of course, is a gem. We got to get to this Janoris Jenkins story. This is weird. And there's details coming out now that, John, you might know a little bit more than I do from the last time I checked. But there was a dead body found at Janoris Jenkins' house. It was strangled, apparently.
Yes.
And he may or may not have been there at the time.
It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Sorry, Mike Trout, but you're no Jackie Bradley Jr.
Good count for Jackie. It's a high fly ball into left field. Upton's back on the track, turning now. And that ball gets out. It's gone.
Hey! Slammy!
And the Red Sox have a 6-1.
Good enough, you don't have to put no condiments on it. A little Jackie Bradley Jr. juicer. A little razzle-dazzle, flippity-flopper.
A Jackie Bradley Jr. juicer. I like that one.
Juice them up, get some salami, make some juice.
I just want to sure just give me a juicer. And then Jackie Bradley Jr.'s name on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just like we all predicted, Jackie Bradley Jr. is the greatest player in the world. Well, at least last night he was. And the Red Sox 9-1 win over the Angels. That was Nesson, by the way. After batting below 200 for most of the season, Bradley's been hot for two games in a row. After going 3-for-3 on Sunday, Bradley went 3-for-4, including a homer and driving in four runs yesterday, which means he will remain this good for the rest of the season.
Oh, my God.
But someone else? What's
just
that?
Predictable as the sun rising that he will be horrible for 2.5 months, have like 3 weeks Slimy? Of 27 for 30 hitting, and then go back to stinking for 2.5 months.
Why do you hate Jackie Bradley Jr. so much?
That's exactly
he
what I said.
He delivered on the biggest stage yesterday.
He has no six more hits in his last seven at-bats and is still hitting under 200.
Salami
that should show you something.
No more salami?
We have a salami recession?
Who's
gonna hit salami?
Okay, well, there was someone who legitimately has been excellent as of late, and he was once again last night.
Price trying to finish off Upton, and he does with a cutter at 89 miles an hour to strike him out. And that does it for the Angels.
Yep, David Price improves to 7-1 in his last 9 starts. And yesterday, he held the Angels to just 1 run on 5 hits and 6 innings. It was his 9th straight start, giving up 3 runs or less. More on him in a minute. But first, hey, Jackie Bradley Jr., what do you want more than anything nowadays?
I don't
want
to suck. So, yeah, I worked. Just have to continue to keep pressing forward and let the pass be the past.
Mm-hmm. He also
right,
wants
Prince.
What, he did have that kind of whispery Prince voice, did he not?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to suck. So yeah, I worked. Just have to continue to.
I don't know. Is that Prince?
Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Tony Gwynn.
Who's a Tony Gwynn?
Well, there is David Price, who once again.
Wait, one quick thing about Jackie Bradley Jr. and
sure.
how bad he's been, and how the Red Sox just seem like, regardless of how terrible he is offensively, they're going to throw him out there. Alex Cora said something really interesting after the game. You turn me up here for a second, Dan. Listen to Alex Cora after the game here.
We had a few conversations, and we trust the player. One thing about players, they understand what's going on with the team, and they understand, you know, transactions and obviously, you know, decisions that we make. And I think he understands that we trust him.
Okay, that's specifically talking about Jackie Bradley Jr. I listen to that, and it seems to me like,
down.
Yeah, I think the Red Sox told him, shape up or we're sending you down.
I mean,
and I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden he's got 6 hits in his last 2 games. Cora said, cut the crap. I mean, your defense is amazing, but we can't have a hole at the bottom of the order like this.
And in fairness, I mean, he did go yard.
Right, he did.
he
went yard.
That's right. There was no salami recession.
No. I mean, Cora sat down with him.
None
and he
of us
said,
want that.
And he said, we might send you down. And he goes, all right, how about this? Tip top, I'm going to go yard.
I kind of like that from Cora. To hear him say that, and just especially after a good game,
yeah.
And still let him know, don't get cocky, kid.
No, I mean,
you've had like 2 good games, but I mean,
you're still hitting 199.
Yeah, I want the world to know that we've had discussions that involved you possibly going to a place other than Boston. Maybe sending you away for a little while. I like that. I thought that was kind of cool. I hadn't heard that clip yet from him. But then there's David Price, who once again had an excellent game. Any guesses as to how he acted after having a great game?
He was probably an ass. That's what he was.
Was he a prick? Was he an ass?
Looking forward to Sunday night at the stadium. That challenge.
I don't think I'll be able to go. So I don't think so.
Fortnite.
Yeah, Fortnite.
Yeah, well, after another good performance,
what?
Fortnite. Someone said Fortnite, and he goes, yeah, Fortnite.
Wait, so, he doesn't think he'll be able to go.
Yeah, he says, I don't think I'll be ready to go. Of course not.
So this is the thing now, is that after every time he pitches well,
he gets passive-aggressive David Price.
He throws a little baby fit.
It's a tale as old as time. He pitches well, and all of a sudden he just becomes like Mr. Me against the world.
Now, who's rooting for him?
I was just thinking...
Now you just want him to fail.
Fred, I was thinking about that last night. I was thinking... Who likes that?
No one.
Like, who's telling David Price, yeah, it's awesome when you do that. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to spend 4 hours once again analyzing the guy and what he said, because it's all becoming a broken record now. We all know what he is, but my goodness, who is encouraging him to continuing to talk like
even
that?
Even if you're a Red Sox fan, you have to wish him to fail every fifth day. I mean, you have to. He's so petulant. And he's, by the way, he's in his 30s. He's not like, you know, a 19-year-old kid that they called up. People are mean to me. Like, you know, I'm going to Fortnite. It's like, shut up. And no one asked him anything, like, particularly tough. What was that? Oh, are you Sunday night is going to be a challenge.
I think it was, are you ready for, let me see.
Looking forward to Sunday night at the stadium, that challenge.
I don't think I'll be able to go, so. I don't think so.
Fortnite? Yeah, Fortnite.
Yeah, about him pitching against the Yankees on Sunday night.
And then he says...
A softball. No. These are softballs they're lobbing at him.
And what's his deal? Why is he... What? First of all, who's reading the beat writers? Second of all, he is paying more attention to the beat writers than I am. What is his deal?
His deal is he's pitching well, and we were debating this at the beginning of the season. He's got that opt-out clause, and no one's going to pay him $30 million a year. If Price keeps pitching this way, and he's pitching really, really well,
yes,
he can opt out and get the $30 million from somewhere else.
Yes.
Correct?
But what does that have to do with why he's always a passive-aggressive a-hole at the end of these things?
Lord knows what goes on in that guy's head, but based on what we've seen from the last month from him, I mean, he's really stepped it up a little bit as far as being an ass. I think he is going to opt out now, regardless of how, I mean, if he, and he's going to win 15, 16, 17 games this season, enough to get him $30 million for four more
okay,
years.
Okay, but where is all the negativity coming from that he's hearing?
Well, I mean, people did rip on him with the Fortnite thing.
Oh, okay.
And it was because he was like, once again, they rip on him because he speaks this way, and then he continues to speak this way.
How many people ripped on him? Like, how would you could so easily avoid that. Who's doing all this? Was he listening to Felger and Maz?
Yep.
Don't listen to Felger and Maz.
Mm-hmm.
Who's giving him, it's not like this wave of crap that comes down him. By the way, David, In the terms of stories this year, since you've been pitching, you rank about 100th. Like, people are more interested in stupid Julian Edelman's suspension than they are in how you're pitching.
Well, he's making himself a story because he gives us sound bites like that.
But people are more interested in John Tavares. People are more interested in what's going to happen with the Celtics. People are more interested in Kawhi Leonard. People are more interested in LeBron James. People are more interested in the health of Hayward. People are more interested in what's going on with Kyrie Irving. People are more interested in a million things
No one's going to care about David Price until October.
Right. So you can't handle this? You're not a story. You're a story every fifth day because of what you say. By the way, if he sucked, he still wouldn't be a story. He ranks so far down in terms of importance in this town, it's absolutely ridiculous. If you sat on the air and you did an hour on David Price, Lord help you. And if he wasn't acting like a prick, if you just sat there and said, wow, David Price is, you know, struggling, and did an hour and took phone calls on it, it would be a test of your patience. Sometimes I'm fast. By the way, Tom Brady's Oprah interview got a week of run, including on this show. No one cares about David Price. No one. No one cares about Jackie Bradley Jr. No one cares. Boy, are these guys. If this is the big Boston media that you're afraid of, the five beat writers that are there cares about, give me a break. Yeah, if you make the ALCS, then people are going to start paying attention. But right now, here we sit in late June. No one cares. They don't care about you. I mean, there's diehards. Baseball's nice because it exists. It's a constant. It's always there. It's nice. You check in, you check out. You check in, you check out. That's what's nice about baseball. That's why I like it. But my Lord, I mean, if he thinks he's being scrutinized with the microscope, he's got another thing coming. My God. How long the Fortnite thing last?
I mean, like a couple days?
3 days?
Right. If he wants us to go away, then make it go away. Stop talking about it.
You could disappear into the ether. No one would care.
It's true. It's like
Tom Brady lights a fart and it would take over the media for 17 days.
There was more talk about him singing at a U2 concert.
Yeah, Gronkowski does a press conference about some motorcycle thing.
Well, that was a legitimate big story.
Like I understand that meant something. But it's off season. They're not playing football. I mean, he's buried in the headlines. My God, dude. Just, you gotta relax. So passive aggressive. You should have signed with St. Louis. They would have left you alone.
He might get your wish.
I don't know if I want him on St. Louis.
December. He might be a St. Louis Cardinal.
I don't think
I want him. The way he's acting, coupled with the way he's pitching, he'll get the money he wants from somebody else. Yeah, and he can opt out after this year.
Well, he's old. All right, Rich, what else are we going to talk about?
All right, we will catch you up on everything that happened with Tavares yesterday. Also, some interesting news out of the Celtics involving Gordon Hayward. On top of that, also Jason Tatum. And we'll get to that insane story that's going on with Janoris Jenkins.
And by the way, Scott the traffic guy is on hold.
Oh, here we go.
So you can hear from him again.
Woo!
So we can take a call from Scott the traffic guy. Hear the headline.
Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I'm getting rid of my stuff.
All the stuff that's here in the studio.
Yeah,
so does not make the move.
Getting rid of it.
Yeah, the big move. I figured something out. Friday is the last show in the studio with you and me.
Unless my son's baseball team goes further.
Then because I know that I'm not here next week.
Yeah, I'll be here.
But the next week you're saying you might be here.
There's a chance.
Okay, because originally you're going to be gone. Okay, well, then that would be okay. But if everything goes according to how everything's planned right now, Friday will be the last show together in this studio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scott the traffic guy.
Oh, boy.
Is a big time comedian. Hello, Scott the traffic guy.
Hey, Fred, what's up?
How you doing, Scott?
Hey, good. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on location. I've been put on assignment.
Oh, yeah?
Go ahead, ask, Fred. Go ahead, ask.
Where are you, Scott?
Well, I got a friend next to me right now, and it's not my dog. She's outside. But I'm going to hand my phone over to this gentleman, and I guarantee you everybody in Patriot Nation knows this guy. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah, Scott.
Oh, we're coming in hot this month. Yeah, hey. It's my friends, Toucher and Rich, you know, the radio guys. Yeah, 98.5. Oh, good Lord. Hey, this is Wabbit Quaff coming in from the Jouette Fair. Ooh, we having a boot scooting fun time.
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, Fred.
Is this still Robert Kraft or is this Scott the traffic guy?
No, this is Robert Kraft. No. I'm sitting here with my friend Trainwreck.
Oh, yeah? So what's going on there, Robert Kraft? How's...
Shout out to Brooks and Dunn. A Bruce Scootin' good time.
I was waiting for Wabbit Quaff to show up again.
Yeah.
Hunting wabbits.
Yes, the famous Robert Kraft speech impediment.
Maybe you'll have a different friend sitting next to him next time.
Well, I mean, the sky's the limit for this guy.
It could be. Oh. Scott the traffic guy, calling in, always bringing the yucks. Although he did not ask, what are you guys doing? Usually every morning he's asking us what we're doing. This time he apparently knew what we were doing, and that was taking his call.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best idea. Well, Gordon Hayward yesterday wrote for GordonHayward.com, which you knew he had a website, but of course, I guess everyone does. He wrote yesterday, he said in a brand new blog, he gave updates on what's been going on with his progress and the surgery to remove some of the hardware from his ankle. And when it came down to it, it seems that he is still set to be playing at full speed very soon. He put, I think at the recovery pace I'm currently on, I'll probably start running again in July. Once I get started, I'll be jogging and then running and then cutting and moving. And all that could happen within 1 or 2 weeks of each other to where by the end of July, I'm playing full court 5-on-5 basketball. And that's probably the most exciting thing I could tell all of you. Now, talking about the upcoming season, he said, it will almost be like a pick-your-poison type of deal, especially if somebody is not having their best game. You've got 3, 4, even 5 other guys that can pick it up for you, and that's a good problem to have. You can never have too many options, and we've got a coach in Brad Stevens who knows how to put everyone in position and to be successful better than anyone. I know he'll be able to figure it out. He said, I also know there isn't going to be any ego. The guys that we have on the team, we want to win a title, and if everyone has that mindset, then nothing else matters. On top of that, if that made you feel good as a Celtics fan, there was a video that was released yesterday of Jason Tatum wasting no time to get back into a rhythm. This is the day after coming in third for NBA Rookie of the Year. There's a video of him nailing 18 three-pointers in a row, and apparently that video sold him too short, and that off the video there were two more. So the guy just hit like he was nothing, hitting 20 three-pointers right there in a row. And, of course, that is nice to see from the 19-year-old rookie.
Would anyone like a sample size that looks like of Body Heat, peaches, and cream?
No, thank you.
Where would we possibly get that from? Is that just in the studio, or is that something that was sent to us?
I don't know. It's in the studio now.
Ooh, gross. So that's just like sitting around the studio?
Well, it wasn't open. But remember, I had to throw away the cardigan that, not the cardigan, the vest that Felger gave me from Brooks Brothers.
That was is that like lube?
I don't know.
Just sitting around the studio?
You want to try it out?
That is really odd.
What if it was lube?
Then we'd have lube.
Yeah. We should do like some sort of like swap shop here. Just with the crap that's left over here at the station that nobody wants to move. Just do some sort of on-air. Fred used to run an on-air swap shop.
I did. They wouldn't let me do it because I was being too sarcastic. Dan, I'll just let Dan know this is a Hoobastank DVD in the kitchen.
It's got my name on it.
That Hoobastank DVD has been in that production studio for 10 years?
No, Why didn't you tell me?
It's in the kitchen now.
Sorry. Well, I think because they're moving stuff, they have cleaned out that other studio that I do production in, and it made its way in there. So, and that's the fair game table. I think we need to do that.
It's gone.
It's gone?
Well, yes, because I'm going to take it.
Okay, because you're going to take it.
All right, Rich, what else are we going
to
talk about?
All right, let's get to the Bruins and the Janoris Jenkins stuff right after this.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, what is going on?
Well, the Bruins got their sit down with John Tavares, as they were one of a handful of teams to do so. And according to TSN, the pitch was made by Bruce Cassidy, Don Sweeney, and Cam Neely. No Patrice Bergeron, as recently speculated. And it reportedly lasted 2 hours, the briefest meeting of the four teams thus far. And now, as I was saying yesterday, I don't know if Don Sweeney and Cam Neely are the two people who would probably make you feel warm and fuzzy about playing for a team. Now, I know that hockey players are a different breed of human beings, and they don't need that Dwight Howard-esque super presentation that had a cartoon made about him, or the Paul George voiceover narrator thing that Robin Lundberg somehow got his hands on that needed a Jamie Foxx type voiceover. However, I don't really see the two of them sitting across from you making you feel really good about playing in Boston.
No, but if you look at the other coaches around the league, Cassidy is the sales guy.
But that's what I was saying. If I was Bruce Cassidy, I would have just turned to Sweeney and Neely and just said, I got this. Why don't you just go over that way?
Let's hope they're smart enough to have realized that was their best pitch.
I also would have gotten Patrice Bergeron there. I mean, don't you think that
they're friends?
Apparently they're friends.
I don't think that he needs to be there. I mean, they're friends.
Now, is it a? I've heard both ways this looked at. Now, I think we all agree that the Bruins don't have a huge shot of getting Tavares. However, is it a good thing or a bad thing that this was the quickest pitch?
I don't think it matters either way.
We talked about this yesterday. Why are the Bruins such a long shot?
I don't understand, because they have...
All the teams have salary cap problems. We talked about this yesterday. And every team has to move some stuff around to make this work. $11 million is not easy to fit under a cap regardless.
There's three teams where you can instantly pick a reason why he would rather choose that team. Islanders, of course, because you can make the most money. Because you get eight years there.
Fine. You're not going to win. Okay.
And if it is a matter of money, then that would mean that Tampa and Dallas both have a better... They can make more money there because there's no state tax.
Well, then what would happen is Toronto or Boston would up their offer and just to cover the tax. And if he wants... You know what? If you want to go to Dallas because of the tax implications, go.
And you're not going to win there either.
Yeah, and you're not going to win.
You can win in Tampa.
I don't know how Tampa's going to do that. Tampa's got a lot of talent that they have to sign. And by the way, he's also looking at San Jose. So
that's weird. Oh, speaking of that, by the way, the Montreal Canadiens apparently requested a meeting with John Tavares, and he said, it's okay.
Good.
He turned down the request, because he's going to go to that mess right now.
Because I would think that...
What he wants, to be stifled in Claude's system.
Yeah. I think that it's between Toronto, Islanders, and Bruins, is what I would say.
And by the way, Tampa has to re-sign Nikita Kucherov, who's a restricted free agent after next season. I mean, everybody has problems. Everybody has to sign. You know, Ryan McDonough's a free agent after next season. I mean, Anton Stralman, you got guys. Tampa's got some decisions to make also. Toronto has a ton of cap room, and that's where Tavares grew up. But we said before, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner are going to be unrestricted free agents after next year.
Yeah, and
with their rookie deals. Both are making under $1 million a season. At the very least, Matthews going to get $10, $11, $12 million a year, and Marner's going to, $8, $9, $10. I mean, both guys are really, really good. So everyone has to do the contract dance. The Bruins, as people saw last year, young, exciting players want to play for the head coach. I mean, it seems to me like the Bruins are a real good fit for him.
They have a core that has been together and that can win. They have young talent that is going up through their system.
How are they better than Tampa? Just ask me. I agree. I think it would be a great team to sign with. But how is that better than Tampa?
Because the selling point is, if you come with us, we will be better than Tampa.
Yeah. Well, Tampa's already better than the Bruins. So why wouldn't you just jump onto that boat?
But not by more money. Not by much. And if you look at the young people, the young players that are coming through the system, it's better for the Bruins. I mean, you're selling.
I mean, that's a good sales point. You could say, look at all the youth we have coming up, so we're going to be good for a long time.
Yeah, you're selling the idea that they can afford you and that you're not going to cost them. You know, it's not going to cost them success. I don't understand why the Bruins are a long shot either. It seems to me that it would be between three teams.
The reason that a lot of people are also speculating, including myself, that they're a long shot, is that they seem to be a throw-in whenever anyone's reporting about the teams that Tavares is meeting with. It's always like these other teams, and it's like, oh yeah, and the Bruins as well. So, and last night, I don't know what it means that they had the shortest meeting than anyone else. You know, maybe he was so blown away that that's all you needed, and maybe he respects the fact that they're not going to sit around and hem and haw and BS him for a while. Maybe that's what Bruce Cassidy does best. Or maybe
I don't take the length of the meeting as anything. I mean, if they get him or don't get him, I don't think it has anything to do with the length of the meeting.
You're probably right. I would have liked Bergeron or someone else to have been there, however.
But Bergeron's friends with him. I mean, there's
they played on Team Canada together. He, Bergeron, and Marchand all played on Team Canada together.
I mean, if you know a guy, there's no real reason to fly him in. Again, they flew Tom Brady in for the Durant meeting. They could have flown in.
They flew in Kelly Olynyk. All right.
Okay, yeah.
Who is this Tom Brady character you're talking about?
So they also could have flown in, you know, David Andrews, as I speculated yesterday, and said, look, there's a football team. Or they could have flown in, Tice.
Daniel Tice.
Yeah, they could have flown in Daniel Tice.
And that guy Wanamaker they just signed, the other European
one. Why not?
Yeah.
Shane Larkin.
They could have flown them all in and said, look at this mediocre talent. You'll be a big star here.
Well, a body has been found at a New Jersey home where the Janoris Jenkins, of course, from the New York Giants, lives. They said that it is someone who had been dead. It's a 25-year-old man named Roosevelt Renee, who is a family friend of Jenkins. Now, they didn't say where Jenkins' death occurred. However, they are monitoring the situation. Now, it's a strangulation that they're saying right now. This person
suffocation died. Or strangulation.
Suffocation
yes.
or strangulation. Now, I saw for the most part yesterday, the original reports were coming out saying that Janoris Jenkins was not in town at the time of the death.
He was in town for mandatory minicamp, and the last 2 weeks he's been in Florida.
Okay. Now, then again, I thought I saw a report yesterday, and I'm trying to confirm this. But I could have sworn I had seen some sort of reporter saying that that might not be accurate. He might have actually been in town at the time of this man's death.
Everything I read says he's been in Florida and is being advised by his lawyer to stay there.
Do we know how many days this body had been there? Like, how did they find it?
I haven't seen that.
I don't know, but all I know is Janoris Jenkins' brother was too scared to get on a flight. He was too scared. He was on a JetBlue flight to Florida from Newark. To allegedly meet up with Janoris, and he then wouldn't get on the flight because he was too scared to fly. So he's perfectly fine with being in jail for the rest of his life, but he couldn't manage a 2.5-hour flight.
So this guy was living at Janoris Jenkins' house, and the body was discovered in the basement early Tuesday morning by someone who was working on the house. So it was just a dude who was there, like, doing some work, and they find a dead body. Maybe that guy?
I'm saying he's the culprit is what I'm saying.
Yep.
So, Janoris Jenkins is in some trouble. There's no question about that. And there was, coming out of college, that was the book on him. Great talent. Sketchy character. Someone who knows about solving sketchy characters and solving bad things that are going around in the city is a man by the name of Stanley Roberts.
Cracking down on real crime.
Stanley Roberts, not a fan of the show. From his perch in San Francisco, where he's been reporting for 20-some-odd years.
Mm-hmm.